Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are longer movies better? Well, it depends who you ask. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is July 18th, 2013. We're on day two of our entertainment article, Movies Taking Their Sweet Time. You can find it on pages 28, 29, and 30 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. And I think this is an article that almost all of our listeners can relate to because almost everybody goes to the movie theater and probably has been there in the last couple of months. So, and we all may have different opinions on it, and it depends as far as maybe our entertainment choices. A lot of it is generational as far as if we like long movies or shorter movies, types of movies that we like. So I think we all have an interesting opinion on it, and I certainly would be interested in hearing from you. How might some of our listeners let us know what they think about movies, good or bad, long or short?
Well, they could visit studioclassroom.com and email us there, or visit us on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you leave a comment because I know everybody on the advanced team will check a Facebook page a couple times a day. I always like to check and see what our listeners have to say. And so that's a great way to let us know what you think about this and think about this article. And let me know what you think about certain movies. We like certain movies. We don't like certain movies. What movie did you really like in the last couple of years?
I really liked Wreck-It Ralph. That I told you yesterday that I have two kids and I see a lot of kids' movies. And I thought the new Disney movie, Wreck-It Ralph, was really well done. Mm-hmm. It talked a lot about video games from my childhood.
Okay. All right. Josh Mooney reflecting back on his childhood, actually having a chance to relive his childhood through his two boys.
There you go.
That's the way to do it. Keep you young. All right. Ellen Lee is also here. What movie did you really like in the last couple of years?
I actually really enjoyed Ben Affleck's Argo. I thought it was very well done, and it was quite exciting.
Oh, okay. Good. Good movie. I had a couple of movies, George Clooney movies, actually. I really liked Up in the Air. I thought it was I liked being a businessman. I could kind of relate to it. Josh certainly could in his previous job with all that flying and traveling.
I felt like he was filming my life.
Yeah.
Minus the affair part. But, yes, the traveling all day long and going around and finding ways to make air travel easier.
Yeah.
Some good parts.
So I prefer more stuff like that, maybe some more issues and dialogue and character involvement than the explosions and action and things like that, big scenes. So
I think the action movies these days are all about 30 minutes too long. One car chase, one more explosion, it seems they felt they needed to add that really didn't need to be in it.
I'm going to mention two movies that drove me crazy. Now that you mention it, it's in the last couple of years, right? These two movies drove me absolutely crazy. They were both 30 minutes too long. Avatar and 2012. That I just was losing it because I was looking at my watch and I'm thinking, when are these things going to end? All right. Avatar was 162 minutes. 2012 was 158. And so we're talking right around 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I just, once it reaches 2 hours, I just start getting really uncomfortable. And then the things are just dragging. And so, I mean, that's only me. That's my personal opinion. But 2 hours and 40 minutes, that's a long time to be sitting there, and it's just the stories are long. We actually had talked about The Hobbit yesterday, and we had seen that it is 169 minutes, so it is a long movie. And speaking of yesterday, let me get just one thought from our panelists about yesterday before we move into today. So give me something from yesterday that you think might be relevant for our listeners.
Well, we touched upon it just briefly, but the introduction of digital films and digital filming tools, I think, is a very important part of why movies are much longer and why directors are more willing to create longer movies.
Yeah. In fact, that's a good point to bring up, Alan, because we're actually going to get into that today in our second reading about the impact of digital, why and how that has actually affected the production of the movies. It's fascinating. It's something people normally wouldn't think about, and how that has changed, moving from using the film, the celluloid film, to digital recording of scenes. Josh.
Well, yesterday we gave you three different words to describe the movie theater owner. And I know a lot of us are familiar with movie studios, the people who make the movies, but maybe you hadn't thought much about, well, who owns the movie theaters I go to? How do they make their money? And yesterday we called them owners, exhibitors, and operators.
Okay. All right. So there you go. You've got three words for really essentially the same role. And these are important people in this because they are being impacted quite heavily by the length of films. And actually, we get into why this is so important to the theater owner, operators, and exhibitors in our first reading for today. So it will be, our first reading will be that bottom section there on page 29, the bottom of the right column.
Box office woes. Ted Mundorf, chief executive of the 229-screen Landmark Theaters, said that when movies exceed a little more than 2 hours, exhibitors lose a showtime a day at a cost of about $3,600 per theater per night. With an average-length movie, Mundorf can book about 5 showings a day, with 2 in the sweet spot between 7 and 9:30 p.m., when theaters generate about 80% of their business. But movies like The Hobbit can be shown only 4 times a day, with 1 prime-time screening.
Okay, box office woes. What's woes mean?
Woes are kind of problems, complaints that people can make about certain things.
Okay, all right, so we're talking about these movie theaters. We get into some of the mathematics of this in this section. And first we hear from Ted Mundorf.
And Ted is the chief executive of a small theater chain called Landmark. And he says that movies exceed, when they exceed more than 2 hours, exhibitors like himself lose a showtime a day.
Hey, you just said small. Now, what are you talking about? I see 229 screen Landmark theaters. Why did you say small?
Well, because Landmark does have 229 screens, but those are spread across very small theater operations. Usually, they don't own any multiplexes. They might have only 3 or 4 movies playing at each of their movie theaters.
Okay, so you're saying maybe they own 50 or 60 locations, and each one has 3 or 4 screens. Okay, so then we would say they are a small theater owner.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, very good. And so when you have a small number of screens like that, that's why these long movies have such an impact, because then you're losing a showtime a day. What does that mean in money?
Well, it means that they're losing $3,600 per theater per night. So that's a lot of money if you add it up over time.
And on a per unit basis, we would say by location, that is significant. If you're talking about a 3 or 4 screen location, to lose $3,600 per night per theater, this is kind of stuff that can make or break a business, right, Josh?
That's right. And it says with an average length movie, he can make money. He can book 5 showings a day. So now we've called it a show time, and now a showing just means when the movie is playing. You might call a movie theater and find out when they're showings, when a movie is showing or playing. And when he books 5, he can make money, especially in the evenings.
Okay. We say something about those special times there in line 22 and 23.
Yeah. We call them the sweet spot. Sweet spot just being the most desirable time or desirable place. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say a baseball bat has a sweet spot. Yeah. It is the best place to hit a ball.
I've always wondered, why is 7 o'clock the sweet spot? I like you know, to when we can have a babysitter and go out for dinner and a movie, 7 o'clock is just a little off for me. I'd rather it be 8 or 8:30. But at least in the United States, they never play movies at 8 o'clock.
Well, I just think some people, instead of having dinner, they might just have snacks at the theater while they watch the movie.
That's a good point.
Or they might go to the theater first and then go get something to eat after the movie. So it's interesting that we would have sweet spot and then we had sweet time in mm-hmm. our title. So we've got a couple sweet idioms for you there. And all right, so theaters generate about 80% of their business. That is amazing, such a narrow band of time.
Well, like Ellen said, they're hungry too at that time. So they're buying concessions, which are the foods that they sell at theaters with an insane markup.
Yeah.
Right? A bag of popcorn literally costs them 3 cents.
Yeah. Or soft drinks.
Yes.
Yeah, the soft drinks only cost them pennies. And you're paying, $3 to $5 for a soft drink.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, but the problem is, instead of two showings, you can only have one showing of a movie like The Hobbit because it's so long. And actually, it reduces the daily number of showings to only 4 times a day. And we got another way of saying sweet spot.
We also call it prime time.
All right.
Prime time in the United States, depending on which time zone you're in, can be anywhere from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yep.
Or 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Now, before we get into our next reading, look at the top of page 29. We have got a sidebar up there, the 10 longest running Hollywood films. And we've got a list there of some very, very famous films. And some of them are pretty long.
That's right. Gone with the Wind is my wife Jean's favorite movie. And I don't know about it on DVD, but when I bought her the VHS 1 year for Christmas, it came in 2 different VHS tapes.
Yeah.
I think it comes on 2 DVDs as well.
Okay. All right. Ellen, you're a big fan of Gone with the Wind also.
I am. It was one of my favorite movies, but it was on the long side. And if I do remember correctly, there was an intermission, which meant it gave us a break to go to the bathroom or to get some water or to do other
things. It's funny that you would say that. I'm really, really glad that you said something about that because that was actually kind of a standard practice in movies years ago in the 1950s and 60s, even the 70s, I would say, early on, where the movies actually, they had an intermission right in the middle of it, usually halfway. And they actually would show the intermission and people could get up, go to the bathroom, go to the refreshment stand. That is unthinkable today. That is unthinkable. I can't imagine that happening. I've never seen it in the last 20 years
nope.
as far as intermission. Yeah. Do we need intermissions?
On the advanced program?
No. Advanced doesn't need any intermissions. It's so exciting here. But anyways, movie theaters. What do you think about the Hobbit movie? They need an intermission?
I think it'd be a great idea. And I think movie theater owners would make money off concessions if they got people out of the theater.
That's actually a good point. They could actually make money on it. Intermissions, we need them?
Well, if this trend continues, yes, I think definitely intermissions would help a lot.
Okay. All right. Let's now turn to page 30 and we'll have our second reading for today. It will be that left column.
Going digital. Traditionally, Hollywood's longest movies were historical epics such as Gone with the Wind and Lawrence of Arabia, and running time was synonymous with prestige. But now even genre films have grown longer, according to Jan Christopher Horak, director of UCLA's Film and Television Archive. When filmmakers used real film, directors shot roughly 40 minutes of footage for 1 minute of screen time, Horak said. Now shooting ratios are closer to 200 to 400 minutes shot for every 1 minute on screen because crews are no longer concerned about wasting costly film stock. There's a kind of overkill at work here, Horak said. Film directors have this mistaken notion that digital is free, so they shoot a lot more footage, and they're in love with what they shoot.
Okay, we had touched upon it a little bit yesterday, and Ellen mentioned it at the beginning of the program today, this effect of going digital, and it has made a big change in how movies are made. Now, traditionally...
Well, Hollywood's longest movies were epics, movies about perhaps a movie with a lot of action or that's covering a lot of history. And these movies, like Gone with the Wind and Lawrence of Arabia, were synonymous with prestige. And the movie I think about that was an epic that seemed to go on forever was Dances with Wolves with Kevin Costner years ago. I wasn't sure he would ever stop dancing.
Now, what do we mean by this synonymous with prestige? What does that mean?
Synonymous just means it was also known as. When we say a synonym, it means the same as another word.
Yeah.
So Gone with the Wind being synonymous with prestige just meant that it was a very important movie, or it was equal to what people considered a very good movie or a prestigious movie.
Yeah. If it's long, it equals... important and good, right? That's what we're saying in this. I did like Dances with Wolves.
It wasn't too long for you?
It was long, yeah.
How about Heaven's Gate from page 29? Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't see it. I read about it, but I didn't see it.
That was critically panned. People hated that movie.
Yeah. I didn't see it, thankfully. So
it didn't always mean – length didn't always mean success at the box office. But for many years it did.
Yeah, for many years it did. With epics, it meant success. But now even genre films have done what?
They have grown longer. And this according to Jan Christopher Horak, who works at UCLA's Film and Television Archive. And an archive is another word for a library.
Okay, now what we were talking about before is these epic films used to be the ones that would go longer. But now we're talking about the genre, the niches, the specialized films that are actually – they too are becoming longer. And that's what comes from this director at UCLA of their Film and Television Archive. And we get into some of the reasons why in the next paragraph.
Well, it says, when filmmakers used real film, directors shot roughly 40 minutes of footage for every 1 minute of screen time. But now that we've moved to digital film, it's closer to 200 to 400 minutes of shot for every 1 minute that actually makes it onto the screen.
All right, what are we talking about here? First off, shoot roughly 40 minutes of footage for 1 minute of screen time.
Well, it just means that when they were needing shots, we said we'd take – when they shoot takes, they would need to shoot about 40 minutes of the actors acting to then edit that down into 1 minute that would actually make the movie.
Yeah. Okay, now, say if I want a scene where Ellen is riding on a horse and coming through and she's like picking something up, leaning over off the side of her horse to pick something up and then riding on – and maybe that we might do that 20 times.
From different angles.
Right. Yeah.
Have multiple cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Have a stand-in rider because maybe Ellen doesn't know how to ride a horse. Right. Lots of different elements of the shot.
So that's what we're talking about. All of these takes, it's going to add up to 40 minutes. That was in the past. But now it has expanded to come up with like 20 seconds or 30 seconds of action that we actually use in the movie. Now the ratio – what are we talking about first? Ratio.
Well, a ratio is just the way two things are related. So perhaps when we talk about men to women, if it's a 1-to-2 ratio, that means for every man, there's two women that are in the group.
Okay. That ratio now has expanded to 200 to 400 minutes shot for every 1 minute on screen. And I think what Josh had mentioned is not only do we have multiple takes of the same scene of Ellen riding on a horse trying to pick something up and maybe shooting her gun or something, but then what also is involved is multiple camera angles. They might be using 5 or 6 different camera angles up close, far away, on the horse, who knows. And that's where you're ending up with all of this total time. It's an amazing amount of total footage that is being used for such a small amount of time that's being used in the movie. And it seems like a waste, but why are they doing it?
Well, they feel that it's digital film, so it's free. I can just delete it or cut it if I don't like it. And Mr. Horak, that we talked about from UCLA, he calls that overkill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, he calls that overkill. What's that mean, overkill?
Overkill just means having something, having a lot more of something than it's actually needed for a certain purpose.
Okay. And film directors, they have kind of a mistaken belief, right?
Right. So they believe that digital film is free, and they just love everything they shoot.
Okay. When they used film, they could only use film one time, and then they had to get new film. Mm-hmm. So there absolutely was a cost with this. The idea, the notion is that digital is free, but it's not exactly free, is it?
It's not free. You have costs for storage, right? And then you especially have costs for editing, for going through. Someone actually gets paid to go through those 400 minutes of footage for every shot and culling it down. And they used to joke about things ending up on the cutting room floor.
Right.
Now I guess you just have the trash bin on your computer desktop.
Deleted file. Yeah, yeah. Well, I can think also cost of the crew. You got all these people sitting around. You've got 50, 100 people watching all of this. There's cost involved with that, labor costs. And the other problem is, and this involves the ego of the directors, they're in love with what they shoot. And so they want to get it perfect, almost to the point of overkill. Let's have our last reading for this article.
Winning the Fight. Many of this year's longer movies come from filmmakers who have racked up enough clout with their studios to win the running time fight, like This Is 40 director-producer Judd Apatow. "It's hard to get out of the house to go to the movies," Apatow said, of his movie's long running time. "Movies are expensive. Parking is expensive. Why is everyone in a rush to go home? An extra 15 minutes won't kill you. Everyone thinks everything is like a 2-minute YouTube video, and I refuse to adjust for them."
Bill Quinn here with Ellen Lee and Josh Mooney. We're on our final section of our entertainment article, Movies Taking Their Sweet Time. And we're wrapping up here on page 30 and talking about the longer movies, some of the reasons why they are longer, the cost that are involved, the cost for the theater owners. And so we're finishing up here with Winning the Fight.
Yes, we talk about some filmmakers who have racked up enough clout with the studios to get their way. And we mentioned several of them yesterday, like Steven Spielberg, one of the most successful directors of all time, Quentin Tarantino, and, of course, the director of The Dark Knight. I'm forgetting his name.
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We had talked about this actually a little bit in an article last month about why are these movies made, and we talked about the relationships between the studios and the directors. And in many cases, the studios are accommodating the directors. They want to keep the directors happy, and the directors can be a little temperamental. And so the studios are just, okay, yeah, go ahead. Whatever you say, Christopher Nolan, that's fine. You go ahead. You make this really long movie because they know they can make money on the next Batman movie, as long as he stays around.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some accommodation there by the studios also. In the past, studios like Universal used to step in and say, Director Ellen Lee, your movie is 20 minutes too long. Cut it down. And she would do it. Today, they tell Ellen Lee, your movie's too long. And Ellen says, well, if you don't like it, I'll go over to Sony. And they're like, oh, no. It's fine. It's fine. So it's a whole different game because there's so much money involved. Because you might have clout. What's clout?
Clout is power, basically. Power that over time, these filmmakers, because they have had successful films before that have made studios a lot of money, mm-hmm. they have racked up or collected enough power to decide how long their movie is.
Yeah, one of those directors, producers, is Judge Apatow. And his recent movie was This Is 40. And what does he say?
Well, he says it's hard to get out of the house to go to the movies. Movies are expensive, he says. Parking is expensive. Why is everyone in a rush to go home?
Okay. Well, he's concerned about the consumer.
He is.
Yeah.
Saying it's a big deal to go to the movies these days, especially, you know, in a big city. You've got to find a place to park and get there on time and pay a lot of money. Why do you want to be home or in and out of the theater in 90 minutes?
I think it's an okay question. Why is everyone in a rush? He goes on with...
And he says an extra 15 minutes won't kill you.
What's he mean by that?
Basically, he's saying an extra 15 minutes doesn't hurt. It's not going to change your life too much.
Yeah, don't get stressed out about it.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Right.
Exactly.
So he's exaggerating.
Right.
Yeah, but this is a very common form in our English, in Western English, just don't, an exaggeration. It's not going to kill you.
But he's also underestimating how what people thought of his movie, that it was a lot more than 15 minutes too long.
Right.
Well, you said what, 40 minutes?
That was the joke,
yeah,
right.
40 minutes too long. So, and his counter to all of this is, why are you rushing? Everyone, he's almost making a comment on society.
Yes, that our short attention span filled society. He says everyone thinks everything is like a 2-minute YouTube video. That the content, of course, we're watching online and that goes viral and gets shared around the world are usually 2 minutes in length. And he says he refuses to adjust for that sort of thinking.
Okay. All right. So he's saying, hey, look, we've got too much stuff in society today where it's just real quick, real quick, real quick, real quick. I'm producing something that's longer. Take your time. Enjoy it. All right, there are several sides to this argument, if the movies are taking too long or not. And like we finished with yesterday, listeners, let us know what you think. You can go to our Facebook page. Let us know if you think movies are too long. And also, if you want to, you go to our website, www.studioclassroom.com. You can join the e-corner discussion, or if you want to write us a note, send us a note at letters@studioclassroom.com. So love to hear from you. Glad you could join us for this article. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Ellen.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.